everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I was, like, that close to either postponing or pushing back the show by, like, 10, 15 minutes.
Because of your poop?
Because I realized that, not because of the poop, I realized that I have an apple fritter waiting for me on my kitchen table.
Okay.
That I have to eat, because the apple fritter, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, it's a very hard thing to come by in the Dunkin' Donuts realm.
I went to like six of them today.
Six Dunkin' Donutses. Yep. And they were like, we have apple crumb. No, Dunkin' I want an apple fritter, sir.
You want that crispy top, right?
Yeah, sure.
That's what you want. You want that crispy
top. So good. It's there waiting for me.
I am a fan of anything apple.
I gotta go. I'm sorry.
You understand? Like, totally full. Uh-huh. Totally love it.
Oh, I get it. I get it.
I don't think there's anything better than a good, like, Dutch apple pie.
Love a Dutch apple pie.
Good God.
There's nothing more American than a Dutch apple pie. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
100%.
And that other voice and that other face is Taylor. How are you, Taylor?
Doing good, Steve. My son fell asleep at the dinner table last night, and it was the funniest thing ever.
Uh-oh.
It was so adorable. He was just eating his waffle, just face down on the table, just out cold. And as you know, as a fellow parent of a three-year-old,
yes,
when you wake them up from those weird, not nap time naps, there's a 50-50 chance that they're going to be a monster or a 50-50 chance that they'll be an angel, right? No in between.
No in between. Absolutely not.
And we had to run that risk. Luckily, he was an angel tonight.
Oh, no. My daughter, last night, it's more than 50-50. My daughter is like 90-10. 90% of the time, she will wake up kicking, screaming, clawing at your face. My wife seems to think that she's essentially sleepwalking, and like you're waking a sleepwalker, but I don't think that's what it is. I think she just really wanted to be asleep, and we woke her up, and she's really pissed at us.
Yeah, that's fair.
This, listeners and viewers, is the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast, the internet's number one gaming news podcast, starring people you've never heard of, probably. The show posts each and every Tuesday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, Podbean, and available, of course, on YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I was going to say iHeartRadio first. That's what happened there. And of course, all of our shows are on dualscreens.com as well, if Andy can remember to post them on the website.
Yes.
And if you want to watch the show live, you could do so on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you to all of our viewers right now. And you could also watch it later as a video on demand the next day on youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Before we get into our show, Andy, we had something else go up on youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Why don't you tell everybody about it?
Well, I could say that because it leads into future current t-shirt.
Oh.
As well.
Oh. Interesting.
As you can see.
Interesting. Well, we'll just tell you right now,
it is right
folks,
there.
If you go to youtube.com/dualscreenstv, yes, you will see a video review of a little video game called Cyber Shadow. Mm. And that is going to bring us into everybody's favorite current t-shirt that nobody bought yet. The Adventures in Gaming. Andy, what have you been playing?
Oh, my God, guys, I played new shit. Listen. I've been playing old shit for so long that I played new shit before it was even new shit.
Yeah, you did.
I had this code for like a week, and I was just elbows deep in this game. And you know, when you hear about a game, it's like, it does so and so really well, but it really shines when it does this particular thing. This game just shines all throughout. The music, the sprite work, the story, the gameplay, it all just shines. This game took 10 years to make, which astounds me, because I can't even do a diet for 10 days. And the commitment of this human being. And then a kudos to Yacht Club Games that brought it on home with the assist. It's out right now. The reviews up on the website, and I loved the fuck out of it. I can't say enough good things about this game. Blew me away.
If you want to know our thoughts, you could go to dualscreens.com. The review is up there. You could go to youtube.com/dualscreenstv for the video review, which is doing well. It's doing very well.
Yeah, it's very nice to see. A little traction, yeah.
Very nice to see. Is that all you've been playing?
Yeah, I bought a game, which I'm going to play.
Oh.
It's like semi-new, but still kind of old-ish. Okay. I purchased Aegis Rim, 13 Sentinels.
I
heard like so much about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, cool. I've heard so many good things about story-wise, gameplay-wise. I found it on eBay brand new for like $30 with a $10 coupon. I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy it. $20. Why the hell not?
Sure.
And I'll dive into that hopefully this week if old shit doesn't get in the way, which after our Fighting Force conversation earlier.
More old shit's going to get in the way, isn't it?
That may happen.
Yeah. 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 Taylor, what about you? What you been playing?
I have been playing new shit. Like the hottest, newest shit. Mm. I have been playing Hitman 3.
The Hitman?
Yes. Nice. I love these games. I think they're absolutely awesome. I have played the first two when they were, you know, under the Square Enix banner and really, really enjoyed them. The work that they have done to bring that entire catalog from the first two games forward into this game, the love that they've put in adding the new mechanics to all of these old maps, making it so that you have those even deeper levels of interaction that you have with the new game on all of these previous maps that they put out is really cool. But I think the most impressive thing that they've done is the compression on the fucking game files. If you guys don't remember, Hitman 2, when it had all of its maps, you had to download each map individually, right? And each map was like 15 gigs. That game, by the time it was done, was fucking massive, especially if you brought forward all of the Hitman 1 maps too. This game, with all of the maps in it, is like 60 gigs now, which is amazing. I'm so
stoked about that. You hear that, Activision? It can be done, you idiots. Yeah.
Like, the level of compression and optimization they've been able to do on all that old stuff is really cool, all being totally independent and without the help of Square Enix to publish this game.
Sure.
Like, how
are you enjoying the actual game?
Like, outside it's very much more Hitman in some really cool locations. The first map that you do is on top of like one of those massive skyscrapers in Dubai. And it's just a super, super cool setting, you know, really nice, luxurious interiors. You know, you can like scale the outside of the building. It's awesome. I haven't got too much into the third map yet. I'm very early on in the second map. Cause I've been playing a lot of the older maps too, just to see, right, you know, how they've optimized and stuff. It. And
so
stuff like that.
I don't know the Hitman series from this trilogy. I feel like I have memories of Hitman prior to that, but I don't even know if that's possible. Like, I feel like Hitman's around forever. Yeah. Like, there was a movie, I think, at one point. Like, yeah. I'm not a Hitman person. However,
yeah. You shouldn't talk about that, though.
So, no. I've heard. So, these games are not necessarily your AAA kind of story driven games. They're more like level based, like, because you keep saying maps. Yep. So like the way I'm picturing it is you get a mission and it drops you in the map and you go do the thing. It's not like a traditional whatever.
Yeah, we're used
to gaming now.
There is a like continuous kind of story between all of these maps, but the main like drive of the gameplay here is the replayability of each of the maps. You have your like main objectives, which is to kill, you know, X target and X target or whatever, right? You have your targets for the map, but you have dozens of different ways that you can actually take care of them, right? And gaining your mastery levels and like beating a map and killing your targets without you know, raising any alarms or like killing
typical
any extra
stealth
people or anything.
Stealth
yeah
stuff.
exactly But there are, I kid you not, dozens of different ways that you can complete each of these levels. So the replayability is super, super high. And as you unlock mastery for each level, you unlock different starting locations, you unlock different gear that you can have with you to begin with. You can unlock different outfits that you start with. So like on the Dubai map, for example, the very first time you go in, you're just in your stealth suit, you're scaling the side of the building, right? But as you unlock mastery levels, you can unlock the ability to spawn in like the staff quarters already in a staff outfit. So you're on a completely opposite side of the map with different starting gear, and you can pursue different opportunities easier. It's really cool. Really cool.
Awesome. I have been playing the olds. So I, as you know, I'm doing the Beat the Damn Game Challenge over on twitch.tv/badchild. And I am pretty close to beating The Witcher 3 at this point. I think there's about 10 or so missions, main quests that I have to do in Act 3. And they're going quick. I will say that. They're taking about an hour each mission to kind of get through. So I figure I am at least two streams away probably from finishing it. I also played some of Borderlands 3, and I'm way farther behind than we all initially thought. Like I barely scratched the surface in that game. I don't know how that's possible considering I was already like level 26 or something when I jumped back in, but like I'm pretty far from completing that game. But that's going to be next, and it's going to be easy to do it because it's just, you know, run around and shoot things, so it shouldn't be too bad. I also jumped in for the first time in months, many months, jumped into Warzone. And I don't even remember why. I think I was invited by Miss Envy to play, and I wanted to play. It's like, yeah, I have it, or I had it on my Xbox made me download it. When the Cold War season update for Warzone happened, but I am glad I jumped back in because I had a blast, and I'm actually going to play it a little bit more. It's going to go into the rotation a little bit more. I like what they've done with the game. I still don't like the that everyone is like, oh, this fucking weapon. Every time I get into a fight, it's always that weapon, and that weapon's always killing me, and yada yada. Everybody always complains about that, but like I try and ignore all that, and like I just pick up weapons that I like. Oh, this is an orange weapon. I'm going to pick that one up. It's a better weapon than the blue one I was carrying. Like that's kind of how I'm playing, and I'm just ignoring that and just having fun. But I like it. I like it a lot. Now it is time for a minute of Apex. That's right. We're returning.
Oh, good.
To a minute of Apex.
Oh dear Lord.
It's Andy, a big minute.
Andy.
Big minute.
Season 8 is nearly here, and the trailer was fantastic. So new character, so using grenade launchers and shit, and looks just unbelievable. We have a bolt action rifle thing. I can't tell what kind of
lever action.
It's like a
not bolt action.
Well, whatever. Weren't there two weapons they showed? They showed a 30-30, and I thought they showed another weapon.
No, so the 30-30 has an alternate firing mode, like the Sentinel, where you can charge it up.
Weird. Interesting.
Yeah,
I'm very excited.
So.
I'm very
it seems
excited
super cool.
I mean,
is it over?
The new no, we have 12 seconds. The
we're carrying
King's
over
Canyon.
All the last minutes.
Right, King's Canyon, King's Canyon getting a completely revamped map. The whole map is changing. It's going to still have the DNA that we love in King's Canyon, but it's going to be refreshed. And this game just oozes style that. I think that's the reason, aside from the fact that it's a great game, I think that the personality of the game is just so far superior to anything Call of Duty could ever do. Like it just has fun as its target. Like, we're not going to take ourselves too seriously. We're going to have a lot of fun. These characters are crazy and you're going to have a blast doing it. It's like, it's the Overwatch of battle royales in my opinion. I just love it so much, and I can't wait to jump back in. And I have several needs only and knife only matches that I need to do. In
that
both.
Felt like a lot more than 12 seconds.
Well, I did an extra minute. We haven't done a minute of Apex in like three episodes. Okay.
These aren't like rollover sessions. Oh, no,
it is. It is. We've got four rollover minutes.
No,
We did. And we got there. All right, guys.
Can we get the shit I care about? And that's
sure.
This next update.
The indie news update. And this is interesting and weird. Go ahead, Andy.
Guys, Biomutant is coming out May 25th, confirmed today, a little while ago. This feels like sleeper hit of the year.
Why are we calling this an indie game?
It's like 10 people working on it. But it's an indie game.
I mean, it's THQ.
They're just publishing.
Yeah.
They maybe gave some money, but you know, it's still an indie game.
I mean,
I did a Google search. It checks out completely.
Totally.
This looks like a double A game to me.
Because I feel like a lot of shit went down in the news the last couple of days.
Yeah.
That didn't make the doc. And I'm just like, all right, I could squeeze this thing that I want to talk about in the indie news of it. Because this game is pretty hype.
That's fair. I mean, it looks
I'm
dope.
I'm very excited about
it. It looks
this.
Dope. Is this the, No, that was a different one game.
It is... Let's just read the description really quickly.
Please
it's
do.
An open world, post-apocalyptic kung fu fable.
Right.
That's it. That's all you got to know.
Is this the one that was made by China?
No, it's a different one.
Because there was one like that was like a weird like, monkey creature with like a bow staff.
Right. Not this.
Okay.
This is like
that's coming soon too. I think
this is like a Solid Snake, a big boss, raccoon thing.
Got it. Yeah. This looks cool. It does look
right.
Cool.
It's got the cool, like, stylized, like, comic book sans graphics and stuff when you're fighting people. And as you level up your little creature, depending on the mutations you take, you'll actually see your creature change and, like, get a robotic arm or, like its tail will get real big or something.
All the things Rad promised us.
Yeah. Looks super fucking cool. I'm so excited. I've been stoked on this game. Since it was announced back in, 2016, I think is when they first showed it.
Honestly, I completely forgot about this game. Completely forgot about it.
This game was supposed to come out in like 2018.
Don't sleep on it. I'm telling you, it's gonna be good. It gonna be good.
Yep.
Alrighty, Taylor, why don't you hit us up with our first item on the dual screens report?
Sure.
Get us ready.
Speaking of Hitman, IO Interactive is bulking up. There was a recent interview that the gamer did with IO director Hakan Abrak, I think is how you would say that. Hakan Abrak is what I'm going to go with. As we talked about recently, they announced that they are doing an upcoming James Bond video game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He said they currently have 200 people employed for the company. He said within the next couple of years, they would like to double that. So they are really bulking up their studio for this. And he had a little line in here that I think is very important. Hinting at another project that they're currently working on in tandem with the James Bond project. Mm. They've pumped out these Hitman games very quickly. And at a very high quality too. So it wouldn't surprise me if all of these new people they're bringing on is for that separate project. And I'd love to see what they do with a different IP. Like, you know, the Hitman IP is kind of already established. James Bond obviously has a lot of history to it. It sounds like they're going to be leaning into a new IP that they haven't worked with before, which I'm very, very excited about.
I'm into it.
Yeah. That. So this is going to be the little bleeding heart person, but every time I see somebody say, or a studio say they're going to like double their hires, I always wonder if that's like permanent hires or if that's the people that they're going to hire for contract work. And then there's going to be massive layoffs after
scabs.
After 007 comes out, they're going to be like, oh, we released 40% of our staff. So when you said you were going to double your staff, you just fired them all? Like that's what I worry about. Like But then you get the opposite. Like Naughty Dog did the opposite. Naughty Dog actually doubled the size of their studio and make two games at a time now. Like that's kind of like how they do it. Same thing with a couple of other studios. It's just interesting to see how they blow up like this, but then there's always that other side of the coin where you have all these contract workers that basically work for a few months and then can't get laid off.
IO is like pretty well known within the industry to like be very strict, like anti-crunch and stuff like that. So it wouldn't surprise me if this bulk up is for permanent positions. And
I hope
just
so.
Wanting to have two teams.
And that really goes to show the success of Hitman for them, right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Hitman is essentially funding, you know, expansion of this studio, which is great.
I love that. Well, 3 is selling like crazy.
Yeah.
From what I hear. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, deserves like it's I'm eager to play it. After
we obviously don't have any of the US numbers yet. We won't get those until like the middle of next month for January. Mm-hmm. But in the UK, it has been the number one selling game on their charts by a pretty wide margin.
Hitman,
both new and existing games.
Hitman is pretty big, but not as big as the main villain in Resident Evil Village. Andy.
Oh my God.
And it's also not as big as the collective internet boner.
You guys.
Because what is happening
in
Resident Evil community?
I don't like to shame anybody.
I learned that there's a such thing as a fear boner because of this trailer. And not firsthand. Just like everybody's like, oh, I'm like, wait, I don't understand. These people have blood all over them. Yeah, fear boner. I've never heard of this before. Is that why you like horror movies so much, Andy? Do you like fear boners?
I like fear, and boners not together. I don't know how that works.
Take us into the next little story there, Andy.
I've never been so scared. I've been aroused.
Got it. Okay.
I mean, I like watching people get killed in a movie. I don't think it arouses me. That's like serial killer shit right there. So I'm not gonna even go near that. But again, I don't want to kink shame all
of
the internet.
No kink shaming here, folks. No kink shaming here.
But Resident Evil had a showcase, and it delivered on a lot of fronts. So we got a nice glimpse at the gameplay, first of all. And it looks incredible. You can block. That's a new thing for Resident Evil. Yeah, it's like, don't hurt me.
Basically how I played Resident Evil 7, but like on the...
That's how you that was me in like grade school when, you know, on the playground. Don't hit me. I'm getting a lot of Resident Evil 4 vibes from this whole setup. The castle, the enemies with like ancient weapons and swords and shit. Then there's the enemies, the tall lady and her like daughters made flies, but they're vampires also.
Yeah,
it's
like,
weird.
Yeah, they're like,
it's very weird.
I can't wait to see what her final form is, because she's 9 feet tall now. Like,
oh yeah,
and her boobs are,
oh
like,
yeah,
they're basically like kiddie pools. Like they're just gigantic inflatable kiddie pools. Like it's kind of crazy.
I'm excited.
I love that in the Discord, she was described as a 9 foot tall titty vampire. That made me very happy.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So apparently there's science to back up the whole 9 feet tall thing.
Yeah.
Did you see that article? I think that was a Kotaku article.
I did.
By a woman.
Right.
Who researched the architecture of
the castle. Right.
That it is 15th century, that the door is 8 feet tall based on 15th century architecture.
And if she's like bending down to like
down
go up
and the
under.
Average head,
yeah.
And so she figured out she's about 9 feet tall, which is pretty cool. But is she wearing heels and is she floating?
Don't matter. Because if Ethan's like, let's say he's like, what, 5'10"?
Right.
Well, let's give him 6 feet.
Sure.
Is she still like towers over
but
him?
But I'm still worried about her health, because that means she has a tumor on her pituitary gland.
Right.
And she's
going
to have that serviced.
That's a lot of calories. You got to keep your body.
A lot of human calories, I imagine.
A lot. Or the blood.
Right.
But the characters notwithstanding,
let's put that
gameplay.
Aside. Yeah.
Right. Gameplay notwithstanding. We got some more shit in that presentation.
We did.
We got this fucking multiplayer mode thing called Reverse.
I don't get it.
Which, I don't know. I'm kind of here for it.
It like, looks like Rogue Company.
Right. But it has like the classic Resident Evil locations, and all the characters are there, like Leon and Claire and Jill and, you know, Nemesis or whatever the fuck. And it sounds like it's a deathmatch setup.
Yeah.
Where you play as like an RE protagonist or a main human character, that when you die, you become an enemy.
Yeah.
Like a tyrant or Nemesis that you can stalk and kill
sure.
other players.
I want to be a head.
Whilst lickers and hunters and other AI enemies while you're playing the game. So
right.
you know what? This boggles the mind because it looks great. I want to play it, but
yeah,
Capcom has a formula for Resident Evil Online. It was called Resident Evil Online. Happened years ago on PlayStation 2. Bring that back. They experiment way too much with trying to make in a multiplayer setting mm-hmm. when it did years ago.
Well,
I'll play this. It's free, which is great.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. I was going to ask you,
but of all the
Resident Evil co-op or online games, how what is the percentage of which ones were good? I feel like we got two out of nine.
Maybe.
And the fact
that Online 1 and 2. Those are the only two games
There was There was Outbreak, right?
Outbreak 1 and 2.
Raccoon City Files.
Outbreak 1 and 2. Raccoon City Project?
I thought it was Files, but I don't know.
I don't know. Raccoon City
There was
shooters.
The one from the last year that was packed in
right.
with 3. The hell was
that? Oh, yeah. It was like you can like build shit and like put
You're like a game master in the game of the,
right.
the Hunger Games. The Resident Evil Hunger Games.
Right.
I don't know.
I'm excited to never play this game.
Oh, you're fucking playing it, dude.
Oh, fuck that.
You are playing
fuck that.
It, and
absolutely
you're also going to watch
You're going to have nightmares of 9-foot-tall women stalking you and just smack you in the face with their big old titties. It's going to happen.
Hey, I hope you bought some GameStop stock.
I want to short Christ. That shit when all the way to the bottom. I'm excited about this.
Good God almighty. This is the strangest news to come out this whole week. This is from BuzzFeed News, because it was the only one that had most of the information that I wanted in one spot. An angry mob on Reddit is pushing up GameStop's stock price and pissing off a bunch of Wall Street firms. That's the title. One financial industry expert told BuzzFeed News that Redditors were engaging in a coordinated attack. Investors on Reddit have launched an attack on both trolling and serious on Wall Street firms by purchasing shares in GameStop, pushing the stock price up 480% in a week, costing hedge funds millions of dollars and skyrocketing young investors' portfolios and egos. Let's just to put this into perspective. A few months ago, the stock was below $3.
Yeah, on April 2nd, it was trading for $2.80 a share.
Right. It is now over, I think it's 140 now, but it went up as high as $705 a share. It was insanity. Essentially, they just said, hey, get your nickels together and go crazy and buy GameStop stocks. And then, so everybody did. And a year ago, the share price was $4. And so they just bought it and bought it, inflated its value. And so I don't really know. I mean, hedge funds, I think the literal root word there is hedge. I think you're hedging your bets, right? You're trying to bet on a company not turning it around. Like, I don't know how that works. But anyway, because it went up so high, and then they were able to sell off and make a bunch of money, it's basically fucking with, you know, quote unquote, the real market. Now, this was just funny and interesting news, but also kind of proves that money isn't real.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's all fake.
Like, how can a company that is literally hemorrhaging money and has no discernible value only increase in value because people decided to invest in the thing?
This is it's a meme
has
stunk.
No value.
It's a stonk. This is a literal real life actual stonk right now.
Oh my god, meme stock. We should do a concert.
It's a meme stock.
hold it in one of the 170 shut down GameStop parking lots.
The thing that pisses me off most about this is, yes, lol, it's funny, these Redditor people, you know, got one over on Wall Street, but this only fucking benefits the asshole shareholders at GameStop who, like, fucked over their employees during COVID and were, like, a horribly ran business for the better part of the last decade and are, like, not doing anything to actually drive value to their company, because they can just, like, sell their shit off and make a shit ton of money because those prices are way inflated right now. You know?
I don't know how accurate that is, because if they artificially drive up the value of the company, the way it works is you get reevaluated in the market. So they can be pulled into different categories or whatever because of this and actually screw the higher ups in the company as far as who hold options in the
sure.
I know options are different from stocks, which are different from hedge funds and like all that other shit. Mm-hmm. So like it's all a game of money, of paper, of numbers, artificial.
Not even paper, fake paper, fake pretend paper. Paper.
You guys, the promise of paper. I think we're ignoring the elephant in the room. That I feel like Reggie did this.
Oh, you think Reggie has read it?
Shit, you're right.
This is all Reggie. He made this happen.
Reggie.
This is very possible.
Damn.
This is very possible. Reggie, answer our emails. Get on our show.
You have questions to answer.
Taylor, you coward. Take us into the next bit of news.
Sure. So, speaking of money being fake, Bethesda's acquisition is chump change to Microsoft. They had their earnings call earlier today, I believe, yesterday. And Microsoft as a whole made more profit in the last quarter than the entire Bethesda acquisition two times over.
Yeah.
Like, just ridiculous amounts of money.
Yeah.
I want to tie this back to the gaming division, though, because there's a lot of really promising numbers in here as far as growth in the industry and where Microsoft is going. They saw their hardware sales jump 86%, which, given their sourcing issues and their inability to keep stuff in stock for new consoles, that's huge. And I think that's really cool. Daniel Ahmad, who is an analyst, basically said, like, you know, due to COVID, gaming spending has just been like through the roof over this last year. Mm-hmm. The gaming division as a whole was up 40% quarter over quarter, which is massive. Xbox, 40% year over year from services, and then Xbox revenue as a whole is up 51% over the same period last quarter.
No.
So Xbox is doing very good for Microsoft right now, but as a whole, it is a very small portion of the pie.
It's kind of scary how small a portion of the pie it is. Yeah. Like, it's no wonder that the United States government continues to try and get involved in Microsoft's bullshit. And I don't say bullshit in a derogatory way. I mean, like, just their whole mess that nobody could really understand between their clouds, their farms, their server farms, their all their different services, like just Windows in general, like all of that stuff is just like, it's just the tip of the iceberg, the literal tip of the iceberg. There's so much stuff that they run, much like Alphabet or Amazon, or which one's Amazon? Yeah. What's their parent company name?
AWS,
right? Like they're just like, they have like these companies are so diversified and it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. They literally run everything. Just goes to show you that these dystopian futures are kind of looking a little more and more realistic as time goes on.
I really wish we had some numbers to compare these percentage increases against. Because between the three of us, I can say right now that my consumption of Apple fritters has increased 100% compared to the last quarter.
Right.
I didn't consume many Apple fritters last quarter. But today, it had a lot of those bad boys. So I wish I knew what the metric is. Like, it's you've increased by a huge percentage. Great. But I want to know, what did it look like last quarter in actual figures? Like, what was your hardware sales in actual units compared to what you sold last time? And they typically don't share
like hardware numbers, right? But as far as users go, that could
put a damper on what, you know, it's good news.
It's spin.
Great news.
It's spin. Yes, but it's spin, but you know, everyone spins. I get it. As far as the gaming division though, like as far as like the 41%, like that was for almost everybody had that growth. Like even Nintendo had that growth when they did their earnings call. Their last earnings call. Sony also, like everybody's.
I think Sony's earning call is next week.
I'm talking about the previous one, last quarter, or Q3, I think. Like I remember everybody was up. It was insane what they were over year.
But you know, Microsoft says that we have 18 million Game Pass subs. Huge. Amazing. Yeah. It's an actual number that I can look at and say it's real.
Yeah.
It's 18 million, like.
Right.
Active users using your platform and your service. Right. Great.
Yeah.
And they know.
And that's up 3 million users over the prior period too, which is huge. Like adding that many new users in that short of a time.
Yeah. So like just share it all. Like what how much Xbox One Series S's have you sold?
Like, it wouldn't surprise me.
Give me that information.
It wouldn't surprise me if once they get their manufacturing shit together. And can actually keep consoles in stock that they start sharing those figures. Like it wouldn't surprise me.
Especially they said philosophically that they don't want to share those figures.
Right.
They've moved on from doing that. Like that was a conscious effort, a conscious decision that they made after Xbox One's launch. Like they full I think it was like year two or year three of Xbox One.
Sure.
They said that they're not going to share that information anymore. They're focusing on services.
They came out recently and said that they would share that information at some point in the future, though. It doesn't really matter except for fanning flame wars. Sure.
I mean, it's great to know those things, I guess, from a conversational standpoint and for, you know, their investors, I suppose. But I think what their investors do care about are the percentage jumps, because if they know, okay, your hardware went up 81% and I know that we made this many millions of dollars, I can ascertain that I'm going to make that much millions of dollars.
That now. Many more millions of dollars.
You know what I mean? Like, so the information that is necessary was given, but for us, for the consumers, like we're not looking at how our portfolios are going to grow. We're looking at who's going to be acquiring which studio,
whose dick is bigger? Is it where we're all about?
It's not even that anymore, because you know, owning everything, like it's just not. It's like, where do I want to focus my attention? Is one spot going to, because right now I could tell you this from an overall hardware experience, I have more ease playing on the Series X because the PS5 has so many UI issues right now. It's just not running smooth from its backwards compatibility and all other stuff. So like I'd be looking at, okay, well, are developers going to start using the other console as their lead platform, and are those games going to start, you know, performing a little bit better or getting those exclusive deals now because Microsoft sold a gajillion of them? You know what I mean? Like, that's where the numbers come in for me, because we have a history of that. Whatever console is doing the best typically gets a lot of that preferential treatment from your EAs, from your Activisions, from, you know, in those deals. So I just be, and this is more for down the line, obviously, because those deals are already in place for the next year or so. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm excited for it nonetheless, but I'm going to get us into our next Xbox story because it kind of segues right into it. There was a whole big hubbub over Xbox Live Gold. Xbox came out and said that they were changing the pricing, essentially charging the same for Xbox Gold, which is $60, but for only 6 months. So essentially doubling the price. And then very quickly, just a few hours later, retracted on that. and said, "Oops, never mind. We're just pretending." So as their apology was, "We messed up today and you were right to let us know. Connecting and playing with friends is a vital part of gaming. We failed to meet the expectations of players who count on it every day. As a result, we decided not to change Xbox Live Gold pricing." The other thing that they changed is now free-to-play games no longer require gold. They used to, which I thought was dumb to begin with. Mm-hmm. But now they no longer do. And that's because people were complaining, saying, "Hey, now you're charging double. And this is something I need to play games that I could download for free. I can't play Apex. I can't play Warzone. I can't play any of those games without now spending $120 a year, essentially, to do an extra $120. Those are two extra games I could buy, you know, from your studios or whatever. So, of course, there are people with the tinfoil hats on saying that they did this on purpose to try and show how consumer friendly they are now, yada, yada. I don't think that's the case. I think they were just like, "Yeah, I think that sounds good. Yeah, it'll drive them towards Game Pass because Game Pass Ultimate's the better deal, right, guys? Yeah, Game Pass Ultimate's the better deal. Okay, yeah, let's do that. It'll drive them to that." And then all hell broke loose. They're like, "Oh, shit. No, never mind. Never mind. People like their Xbox Live Gold. They like Xbox Live Gold. Some people still like that." Which just goes to show you they just have a communication issue when it comes to their services at this point.
Sure.
I wonder, did that guy get let go who had this great idea?
I don't think it's ever one guy's idea. There's a collective. Ideas.
But like, was it like, "Let's see if they notice or give a shit and we can gouge them"? And if they don't raise up pitchforks, we'll just charge them like
Microsoft,
double the price.
Not hungry for money. They don't need
exactly.
The money.
Exactly.
No, I don't think that's what it was.
Right.
I think this was kind of a way for them to try and drive people to Game Pass Ultimate so that they could have this all under one umbrella. I don't know why they don't just
You have
marry
so many
anyway.
Games to drive you there already. You don't got to worry about games with gold pricing. The platform sells itself. There's so many games on it.
Clearly it isn't, because a lot of people still have games with gold.
Well, okay. I guess they don't like Game Pass.
It's an extra, what, $6 for Game Pass Ultimate?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I was charged today, like $16. Like, I guess it's a messaging thing. They should just get rid of it. Just marry it into Game Pass Ultimate.
Yeah, I feel like it's just that's their new thing now. Yeah. Like the Games for Gold games, when they come out, it's like it's always very lackluster. I think we got a good month, I think, for January, but I think before that it was like, you're doing like the bare minimum for those who have this service in terms of what they're not getting the most value for their subscription. So just be gone with it and put them all in Game Pass and watch your numbers soar.
Yeah. Buzz makes a really good point, though. They have 100 million monthly active Xbox Live Gold users. They have 18 million total subscribers to Game Pass Ultimate, right?
Right. So,
it's a lot of people. They would have to just like say, "Hey, we're not charging for Xbox Live Gold anymore."
Yeah,
just I don't think rolling it into... No, mm-hmm. I don't think that's the solution, because you know people would shit their pants if they say you have to pay $6 more a month.
No,
and you have to get Game Pass.
Well, what is it? Regular Game Pass is $12, right?
Yeah.
Something like that? How much would they shit their pants if you told them there's no change in price? You already bought it.
For
however long you already stacked
your cards.
You're grandfathered in for $9, right. $10. But whenever that expires, it's going to be $12 for regular Game Pass, mm-hmm. and it includes the Xbox Live Gold, so you can play online with your friends.
Right.
I mean, Silver went away, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that was free and everything like that, but they were able to just kind of migrate all that shit into gold. So I think it's way less complicated than you think it is to just... And again, when you have 100 monthly active Xbox users on Xbox Live, a lot of those aren't going to be your Xbox Live Gold subscribers. They're just on Xbox Live. So you're not losing out on 82 million users if you move the You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. I just think they have to be very careful with that messaging. And with the last couple of things, like a couple of features and changes to their service they've announced, they have not been very good with their messaging, right? Like, there was all the confusion around the upgrade thing. I forget what it is.
Smart delivery?
Smart delivery, yes. No one knew what the fuck that was, right? They didn't do a good job of, like, explaining that. This change, like, I don't know. I think they have to be very careful with that if they do make that change, because it's just another thing for people to piss and moan about on Reddit, right?
Yeah, they just need to just rip the Band-Aid off and take your $3 loss on your Game Pass vanilla and include gold with it.
Well, whatever. Speaking of things that make me bitch and moan on Reddit.
Yeah.
Our old friends Konami were in the news this week. And did you guys hear that they're done?
They're done. They folded up.
They're leaving the industry altogether.
Altogether.
And here's the official statement.
They've jettisoned into space.
I heard they took Solid Snake out back and just shot him in the
shot him right
let
in the
me say
murdered him.
Here is the headline. Konami to officially dissolve and restructure production divisions. Oh my God, it's over. Konami officially, this comes from siliconarrow.com, by the way. Konami officially announced that the corporation will dissolve, then restructure its production divisions. The website, both available in Japanese and English, stated that Konami will take action involving all three production divisions in response to the rapid market that surrounds, quote unquote, the company. The restructuring and dissolution will be effective immediately on February 1st, 2021. It also doesn't mean it's getting out of video games. Huh. It's a very clickbaity title. And everyone thought, that's it. Konami's done making video games. They're going to sell off all their IP.
Well,
yay.
They should,
but they should.
It's completely unrelated reasons. But
right. This is very much not the case. This has happened before with companies like Sega and Square Enix like a while back. To further elaborate, or to clarify rather.
Please elaborate.
The announcement made refers to an internal restructure with production divisions being consolidated.
Uh-huh.
We have not shut down our video game division. That's
people,
great, Konami.
People miss the second half of that headline.
Right. That's great. I love it. I'm fine with it. But can you just please, for all that is holy, you can keep Yu-Gi-Oh! And fucking PES Soccer, whatever the fuck that game is called. But can you please give Contra, Castlevania, Metal Gear Solid, Suikoden, and for fuck's sake, Silent Hill to someone who gives a shit? Please just do it, you cowards. Because I can't anymore.
There's
just sitting there.
How have they not put out a new Castlevania game? The last one was what? The Lord of Darkness games?
No, there was some mobile shit that came out, like, yeah, I think, not too long ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, aside from re-releasing some of their old shit and mobile stuff, like, the last true console Castlevania game.
Yeah, it was Lords of Shadow 2.
Lords of Shadow.
Which was, like, a bomb. It was so bad.
They have that some game of the most valuable IP in gaming. And
well,
just do if fuck all with it.
If they keep going this route... Those IP are
me crazy.
Dick.
You know, fuck you, Taylor, because I almost forgot about Lord of Shadow 2 for a minute. That game was so
I'm
bad.
Sorry. I'm
I
sorry.
Mean, the first game was poetry. The ending was incredible. And I had such high hopes for that second game. And then when it came out, I was like, what have you done with this? You
what
had struck gold. Yeah. It was good.
All right. It was really speaking good. Of Konami.
Guys, I was so torn with the hype zone this week. There was like 80 things I wanted to talk about between the tall lady thirst and the GameStop stuff. And but I think this is the real hype right now.
Give it to me right in my face.
The Metal Gear Solid cast has reunited for an unknown project.
Dun, dun, dun.
And we all know what that
United
means.
Metal Gear restructuring.
Good.
Yes, it means we're getting that fucking Metal Gear Solid remake. Blue Point Games not happening. There was a Zoom call with David Hayter, Solid Snake.
Good thing.
Debbie Mae West, Meryl Silverberg, Robin Atkins Downs, Kazuhira Miller, and some other folks. Sniper Wolf, Liquid Snake, Roy Campbell, Ocelot, The Boss, and Naomi. Okay. It's like most of the main players, but you have like The Boss and in there because you don't belong in there. Why are you there? It's weird. I don't know why she's even there. But yeah, so they're teasing some sort of announcement. Details coming soon, Hayter says. What are the odds this ends up being absolutely nothing?
I know exactly what it is. I know exactly what this is.
I said it was mocap and VO for a new pachinko machine.
Nope. Yeah. Not even close. Not even close. This is a table read of Metal Gear Solid.
Ooh.
The movie?
A Zoom. No, the games.
No. But why is the boss there?
It's going to be like the true. Maybe it's for the third one.
Oh, she's playing Mei Ling because she's not on this list.
There you go. Boom. That's what it is. It's a table. It's a Zoom table read.
Yeah, but there's the worst of the cast. Where's like fucking Psycho Mantis?
They're not like, all just going to do this, Andy.
Psycho Mantis is like, he's like King Fear Boner right there.
They cost money, bro. You can't just do this.
Okay, Psycho Mantis costs money? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, big time people there.
What's he doing these days?
I don't know. Yeah. He's reading your memory card.
What's he doing? He really is.
They got David Hayter.
Do you like to play Castlevania?
I bet you David Hayter is running this reunion. I bet he's he's in charge of it.
I see that. 100%.
The Mr. Director in him.
He's just bored and knows that he has a rabid fan base. Let's do a Zoom call, guys, because that could be a thing we do. But low expectations with this, I feel. I don't know.
Maybe it'll
almost
be like a
non-existent expectations.
Because they said reunion, right? They didn't say it's like a.
But that's like, it's like the Fresh Prince reunion. They just sat in a room and talked about the show.
Right.
Well, they did. Mentioned Uncle Phil and made us all cry. Yeah.
James Avery, rest in peace. Shredder.
Right.
Let's get into the mailbag here because Maltese has an interesting question.
Let's.
Maltese asks, are roguelites the new pixel art? Every other game trailer that's thrown at me has roguelite or roguelike elements. So I remember a conversation we had with a couple of devs when we first started doing Nintendo Dual Screens podcast, Andy. Mm-hmm. And we had one developer, and I do not remember who it was off the top of my head, but it was in a conversation about rogue elements in level design. And they had said that the reason why rogue elements are happening more and more, especially in level design specifically, because that's what we were talking about, is because developers are lazy.
Mm.
And they do, and this was a developer that said this, because they don't want to methodically plan out a level and make good level design, so they make random level design to keep things interesting. I think that's where it started, because it was an easy, all you have to do is make the assets and then tell the algorithm to place them in spots that make sense. I think that's where it started, but then you get things that are much more layered, like Hades, and all that other fun stuff. While I don't think it's the new pixel art, because pixel art went away for a very long time. I guess rogues also went away for a long time, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm trying to get my head around the question here.
It's a weird comparison.
Because pixel art, I feel, when Kickstarter became a thing, it was like a resurgence of that particular art style. Like, that never went away entirely. It was always like in the background. But as more and more indie games rose to prominence and they utilized that art form and they were actually good games, they used it.
Yeah.
But I do feel like roguelikes, I'm not sure if it's because we had a huge hit with Hades. I feel like every other game I'm seeing lately has elements of roguelike in them.
Well, it's like a way to extend a game's...
Right.
These games are taking longer and longer to make. Even the indie games now, they're taking 4 or 5 years to make. So like, make a shorter game, but throw roguelite elements, create replayability. Maybe it's it's a kind of way to cut corners in that aspect. Maybe
like, I think I first dipped my toes with Rogue Legacy into that genre.
Right.
Like head first in that. But I see so much of it. Like, I don't want to spoil our upcoming Game Pass or play situation, but there was a game I played that I was like, oh, this has roguelike shit. I had no idea. And then I got some emails today for games coming out. I'm like, these are like all roguelike games. Yeah. And then I saw a game on Reddit just last night of a game some guy is working on. It was like super duper upvoted to like the high heavens of Reddit, to Karma Heaven. And it was a roguelike. I'm like, holy shit, this is like, it's like you can't escape it now. It's everywhere you look. It's
I
like
remember back in the day it was just procedurally generated levels.
Right. Right.
You know, like that was kind of like the way they use the rogue elements, because it was it was a taxing technology. It wasn't something that these engines back in the, you know, PS2 days can really do well, because it was all CPU heavy, doing all those calculations, creating all those atmospheres and those levels and making them make sense, and, you know, the AI figuring all that shit out. Whereas I think it's just a little bit easier now. These engines can handle that pretty easily, and it makes for fun combinations of stuff. Like, I know Taylor, you love those mechanics.
Oh yeah, I'm fucking here for it. If it is, like, thumbs up from me. I'm all about
Taylor,
it. I love
Taylor.
Like that,
I've got a game for you, by the way, buddy.
Okay.
It's called Skull the Hero Slayer.
Okay.
It released just last week. I played some of it the other day. I think you're gonna love it. It's actually oddly enough, it's a roguelike with pixel art.
Love that. That's like my wheelhouse. Give that to me. Feed it to me by the bucket full.
Oh,
I'm all
so
about
good.
It.
It's so good. But yeah,
I think people are realizing, just like, you know, with the pixel art stuff, like, people like those types of games. You know, they're into it,
and they're
so
not easy
kinda
to do.
Like the hot thing. No,
they're not.
Pixel art is not easy to do at all, yeah. Especially to animate it.
It's like, you know, the hot thing right now. People love it, and so especially indie studios that are wanting to make something that resonates with fans. Like, I think it makes total sense to do something that there is a ravenous fan base for. You know,
absolutely.
You know, you're not going to be able to compete at the AAA level, so. You know, whether you call it laziness or resource management, you know, being able to procedurally generate your levels and add a layer of replayability with that, like, it just makes it easier for indie devs so that they can focus on developing other aspects of their game. So
yeah,
I don't think it's a bad thing whatsoever.
Yeah. All right, before we get into the Hype Fam member of the week, guys, if you want to support this, guys and girls, and anything in between, if you want to support this show, you could do so by going to patreon.com, just like our Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice Nestler and FNH Paul. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. Again, there are changes coming in starting next month, so you're going to be getting all new stuff. The $10
way
tier.
Way more bang for your buck.
Way more bang
$1
for your
tier.
Buck. Correct. $1 tier is getting more. The $3 tier is getting more. And then the $5 tier is getting more. And one of the things that the $5 tier is getting is they're getting everything that was in the $10 tier, which was your retro game club. That is moving down to $5. And a new thing is going to be in the $10, which we have not announced yet because we haven't decided exactly what we want to do with it yet. But all of these changes are actually active right now, but you will not be charged for these changes until the 1st of February. So if you're listening to this after February, those changes are already in effect. So, you know, you're just going to see it. You're just going to see the changes, right? That's just what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll read off for you guys really quickly. Your $1 a month, you're going to get into the Discord as always. You're also going to get the bonus episode, which you vote the topic. That's always going to be there. But now you're getting something additional. We're going to open up a thread in Patreon where you could ask us anything. Just ask us stuff. Anything you want. And once a month, we're going to be creating a YouTube video where we're going to answer all of your questions. So get all any questions you have, any about it could be about news, it could be about games, it could be about anything, it could be literally about anything. We'll pick.
It can be about our personal lives.
Personal lives, whatever you want.
You can ask what our social security numbers are.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Blood mm-hmm. type, all that stuff.
Yep.
That's going to be for the $1. The $3, you're still going to get your pre-show. That's going to happen. You're going to get early access to the Dual Screens podcast whenever we record that early, which I would say maybe like 75% of the time we record it before it needs to immediately go out. It's guest dependent. Right. Actually, I would say it's closer to nine times out of 10 we recorded earlier. So you're going to get that. You're also going to get the audio version of our brand new YouTube show. That's right. You're going to get the podcast version of Game Pass or Play, which is going to be recorded. The first episode is going to be recorded tonight after this. It is a YouTube exclusive show, except for our $3 patrons. You're going to be getting the audio version for that support. So thank you very much if you support us at $3. The $5 tier, again, is going to get everything before it, but it's also going to be getting the Retro Game Club podcast. And the $10 tier, we're going to be giving you something else. We're just figuring out what that something else is going to be. And that's it. Those are the changes. So we look forward to that. And now it is time for the hype, a hype fam member of the week. I have no idea who put this in here. I'm assuming it was Taylor.
I did. Yep.
Again, so none of you are writing fam... in to hype anybody up. You all are terrible to each other. You hate each other is what I'm getting out of this.
Yeah, basically. No one likes it here. The hype fam, hype member of the week. Is none other than our friend Despawn Games over at twitch.tv/despawngames. He recently did a birthday stream where he streamed for 12 hours to raise money for Able Gamers. He raised a ton of money. He shaved his head for it. He dressed up as Kratos. It was very, very cool. And Paul is just a wonderful person. You know, one of the kindest, most loving and inclusive people I've met on Twitch. Really, really good dude, is constantly doing stuff for charity, and is very nice. So make sure you go check him out, twitch.tv/despawngames.
And also, Despawn Games has a podcast that they do every week. So if you want to add a new gaming podcast to your rotisserie there, to your rotation, go put that in your podcast machine. Search for Despawn Games. And remember, we want to hear from you guys. We want you to hype somebody up. Write to us. Hype somebody up. Do it right now. Right now, so you don't forget. We'll wait. Feedback@ndspodcast.com. That's feedback@ndspodcast.com with the subject hype fam hype. That is going to do it for the show. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at @dual_screens on Twitter. We are at NDS Podcast on Instagram. I am at BatChild27 on both. Andy is at PantsGuy on both. And Taylor is at It's Perger on everything. And you can also give Taylor a follow on Twitch at twitch.tv/It's Perger. You can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/BatChild. Our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/DS Podcasts. And again, if you are watching this later on YouTube, you could be a part of this live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. And if you're watching or listening, you could also, you know, sub to us on youtube.com/dualscreenstv. It's very simple. Very, very simple. That's going to do for us. Andy?
Yes?
Is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Yeah, I have an Apple fritter that's waiting for me.
Get it.
So I don't know about this recording another show bullshit you're talking about, so...
Throw it in your toaster oven.
It's gotta get in that fritter.
Throw it in your toaster oven. Taylor, anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Love you all very much. Please be careful with your fear boners. My God.
Be careful with the fear boners.
You don't want to run into a wall with one of those. Just make sure you're in a safe place.
I thought you just said you
know what? You know what?
Walrus with one
Hold
of those.
Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute, gentlemen.
Yes.
I see missed enough in the chat. Is Mikey Kirsch still in the chat?
Yes, Mikey Kirsch is still in the chat. Please keep in mind this is an audio podcast.
All right, let's stay on and we'll have an idea, but end okay. The show first. End the show.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And as always, please be excellent to each other.